Hi, I'm Crystal Kawula, Lead Coordinator of MVP Days, and I'm here today with Dave Kawula, Microsoft MVP, technical evangelist, and accomplished author.
And comedian and star of the show.
We're here today to bring you a session from MVP Days 2014. It was presented by a friend of ours, Anthony Bartolo.
Yes, at what Wireless
is,
Life.
I was going to say, at Wireless Life is his Twitter handle.
It'd be right there.
Stop putting it there.
It won't. I'll shrink it so it won't fit in front of your face.
At Wireless Life.
I'll stop it like right here.
And his session was Empowering Business Mobility, Addressing BYOD for by Securing Identity.
Yes. Yes. And so this was this session came out shortly after the announcement of Microsoft's Enterprise Mobility Suite. And not a lot of people knew about it at the time. So it has a lot of great introductory information about the suite. Now, Microsoft's tweaked and tuned it a little bit since the presentation first aired and since Anthony did the roadshow with us last year. But a lot of the information in there is still very, very relevant. And that's why we wanted to bring this to you as part of our episode today.
I guess we'll just have to hook Anthony in to give us an updated version this year.
Yes, I think so. Absolutely. So some really cool topics inside of there. Anthony talks about, like I said, the Enterprise Mobility Suite. He goes through a complete walkthrough of Azure Active Directory, talks about Windows Intune for managing those devices and securing those devices, and a whole lot more. So, you know, Anthony is an absolutely fantastic speaker. Mm-hmm. I know that back in his days prior to Microsoft, when he was with Samsung, he was actually delivering keynote presentations in front of thousands and thousands of people. So he's a pro. And He is a CAN IT pro. That's
you like
right.
That?
Every time.
Look, wait, hang on. I think I have a picture of him right in the front. I do.
Oh, yeah. It's right. Yeah. It's right as part of Crystal's book. See, there you go. Last year, we actually gave away a few of those books at the show. Maybe CAN IT Pro will sponsor us again. Hmm? Anthony, Pierre, maybe send some more books to the cities. You know, people probably ran out by this time next year. So,
not everybody had a backup like I did. All right. So I think...
Should we hand this over to Anthony?
Yeah, hand it on over.
Like I said, it was a really awesome session. So we'll come back after this short break and Anthony will take it from there.
All right.
So good morning, everybody. I know it's very early, 8 o'clock. Thank you very much for taking the time to come out. This event has been great for us from Microsoft, and the fact that the community put this together to assist the IT professional communities across Canada, and very appreciative of the fact that they've invited us out to come and participate in this. My name is Anthony Bartolo. I am a technical evangelist based out of Toronto. And my specialty is mobility enablement. And you may have heard of the offering that Microsoft has put together with regards to Enterprise Mobility Suite. We're going to be talking about a lot about that today, more so on the aspect of ubiquitous computing and the ability for your end users to connect anywhere securely from a plethora of devices through their identity, using applications that could be on-prem, in a hybrid solution, or in cloud. Definitely, if you have the opportunity to join the discussion, you know, definitely invite to everybody in the room. We have our own blog, which is www.canitpro.net. It is our blog, our repository, specifically built for IT professionals. Actually, Marcos Nogueira submitted a post that went live today in regards to tips on migrating your cluster from 2012 to 2012 R2, and how simple it is to do so. This blog is great because it's a plethora of step-by-steps, how-tos, and why you would want to move to certain platforms or offer certain solutions within your organization. So please do check it out. Also up, if you guys are familiar with this, Microsoft Virtual Academy, another phenomenal, great resource, which again is free, enabling end users or enabling IT professionals worldwide to gain access to tutorials and insights and videos on net new technology in regards to the mobile first, cloud first world. Again, it's a great training resource for your IT shops. It's completely free. It's done at night. There's a points award system that you could possibly win prizes as well. But for me, the biggest thing is the resources in terms of the PDFs that I can then save and use in later references for deployments of technology. So what are we going to be talking about today? So the first hour, we're going to be talking about identity management. And then we're going to dive into device management for the second hour. So again, thank you very much for coming out today. Couple of stats. What's interesting in regards to this market today is obviously there's a plethora of devices that are coming into the business. And the challenge has been, you know, us as IT professionals to manage this. This survey was taken, and it was interesting to note that 60% of end users who have brought in their own device feel IT is not doing enough to enable them. They feel that, you know, I have this device, this is what I'm used to, this is what I like using, I'll bring it into somebody's infrastructure, and I'm being told I'm not allowed to use it. And the challenges with that is that's where we see the advent of shadow IT. You guys familiar with shadow IT? So shadow IT is a movement where an end user would do things on their own after they've been told by IT no. They figure out a way, and that becomes dangerous because if they figure out a way to do something and then they connect to your infrastructure without you knowing and then they leave the organization, how do you know to shut that off? How do you know to disable the fact that that individual has that access? You don't. So it's always, you know, important for IT to have that conversation with the end users. And of course, you can't just open the floodgates and allow for full-on connectivity to an infrastructure, but having that dialogue with your end users is very important because of the fact that you build that trust. You build that unity with your end users, and you have the ability then to build on the business in terms of the aspects of the needs, which we as IT professionals have, you know, the server room or cloud or a hybrid solution as our crystal ball where to move our organization forward. So specifically on Canadian stats, this was as per ComScore back in February 2014. 24 million Canadians have a mobile device, of which 18 million are smartphones. Now that's growing rapidly, as you know, and tablets are now taking hold in terms of organization. The other interesting stat that I wanted to discuss with you guys today is that 32% visit social sites with their mobile device, specifically with their mobile device, 5 times a day. And here's the challenge with this. We're in a new paradigm where communication is now happening over social media. Yes, there are those that are on Twitter telling people that they brush their teeth at 3 in the morning or they're going to take their dog for a walk. But you have a scenario now where you have people chattering about subject matter where it could be, my IT shop is not helping me properly, can somebody else out there help me? Where shadow IT then stems. Or sharing of best practices in terms of, you know, doing a multitude of functionality. Can IT Pro, we're on very frequently sharing best practices and conducting conversations with the IT community as a whole. We find it very valuable. But there is that situation in terms of at work, what is acceptable in terms of access to said platform? It is a SaaS application. It is tied to an identity. Does that identity, you know, circumvent the security that I put forth in terms of what they're sharing amidst social? Is there a cap as to how many times they should be sharing stuff on social? Is there specific documentations or images that they shouldn't be sharing on social? And this is the challenge that, you know, the challenge in regards to the information escaping from our organization is tenfold what it was not 3 years ago. And so, not too long ago, this was the solution that was put forth. You have an individual who has an Active Directory profile, who logs into their computer, connects to the domain, and they gain access to the company's data. And then it grew. We had desktops, then we went to laptops and notebooks, and then we went to tablets. And as long as it's an x86 or x64, you know, no problem, connect it to the domain, log in, gain access to your information. What then happened was you have a situation where devices started showing up, unmanaged devices. Back in my Rogers days, I was at Rogers for 12 years, I helped launch the iPhone 3G. And the most interesting stat that I can share with you guys was of the 17% of BlackBerry users that migrated from BlackBerry to iPhone at that time, only 2% stayed. Because there was no way for IT to manage those devices. And so immediately when the individual came into the office and said, I want to use this for work, IT said no. Now back then, there was very little pathways made available for these devices to gain access to the information. On the flip side, there was no real MDM solution or mobile device management solution available. It was the infancy of BYOD. It's where it started. It became a status symbol. I want this device. I want to show my friends that I have this device, but I also want to use it every day. I don't want to carry the Batman utility belt, BlackBerry on one side, iPhone on the other. In this day and age, in terms of enablement through cloud and through SaaS applications, pathways have increased tenfold. And so securing a device is not enough anymore. You have to have the capability of securing the identity, which would then policy across the devices that these individuals are using. What we don't want to have is we don't want to have the fragmentation of IT in the fact that I have to set up a separate profile for a user on a desktop PC and then a separate profile for a user on a mobile device. So a quick show of hands, how many people have deployed a mobile device management software suite thus far? That many. Okay. That's good. So I caught you early. That's awesome. A lot of the challenges that you come into play right now is the fact that having that separated identity becomes a challenge for IT because that means it's two silos that I have to manage. So, you know, I could deploy a BlackBerry Enterprise server, I could deploy MobileIron, SODI, AirWatch, on and on and on. But the challenge there has become, now I have to create a separate profile for this individual that I have to manage. And if there's any problems, I have to go to each separate window to manage all the devices they have put forth. Why fragment ourselves? We as IT, we have all the time in the world, right? You guys are laughing. I always get that same chuckle every time when I say that, because it's true, we don't. And you know, for us, if we can enable a solution that's simple for our end users to just simply gain access to the information they need to do their day-to-day activities, and do it in such a way where it's secured and it pieces the possible ISO standards or whatever security standards that our organizations have put forth, it makes our lives a whole much easier. So why have the separate windows and separate consoles to not only manage the devices, but also manage the multitude of SaaS applications, 1,500 plus SaaS applications that are out there. Like Office 365 is just the tip of the iceberg, right? Twitter, Facebook, Salesforce, CRM, you name it. BI applications that are out there. How do we manage this all? How do we, you know who's allowed access to what? A couple of, you know, just doing this presentation, we deliver an actual camp for IT professionals across Canada that allows for hands-on experience into the subject matter that we're talking about today, where you would actually do a deployment across System Center. And the biggest thing that resonates with a lot of people is, if I have my end users utilizing a multitude of SaaS applications across a plethora of devices, when that individual leaves, where do I go to disable access to those SaaS apps? Today's world, I have to go to each and every SaaS application that they currently have access to and disable them one by one. And God help me if I forget one, because then that individual has access until it's blocked. And how would you know that they would have access? So through tools like multi-factor authentication, you have the ability to restrict access once an individual leaves and cut that capability of allowing the end user to gain access to a SaaS application that may have your information in cloud or in a hybrid model on-prem. So when we look at a solution in terms of BYOD, just managing the devices is not enough anymore. That's great. We can enable encryption on a device. We can enable security policies. We can enable password policies on a device. But that only secures that one device. And end users these days don't just use one device. They use a multitude of devices. Even in scenarios like Windows to Go. Has anybody deployed a Windows to Go key? So in education, a great solution for them is building a Windows to Go key with a Windows 8.1 image. So if you have Windows 8.1, you have the ability to create a Windows to Go key, and then these students would take this key, plug it into any computer, reboot the computer, and it would come up with their instance. That too is an access point that their identity unlocks and gains access to the specific pathways that I've allowed in terms of the data on the back end. All identity driven. Encrypting the device is only 1/3 of the entire solution. You also have to take in consideration the applications and the data that also should be secured, and it's all unlocked via identity. Hence the reason why identity is so important. So let's talk about identity. So it all starts with a person. We have a new hire that's coming into our organization. We set them up with a profile on Active Directory, provide the schema for Exchange or for whatever mail solution that we have, light up a whole bunch of SaaS applications that they may require, and then we verify that employee when the employee logs in. So logs in with their credentials, and they gain access to what we've allowed them in terms of pathways. What we're looking at now, and the challenge now, is how do we allow for that identity to go to span across a multitude of devices? In traditional domain join devices, no problem. What about all the Windows Phone, iOS, Android devices that are out there that don't traditionally connect to the domain? How do we connect those? How do we enable access to the information behind the firewall without negating security? And how do we allow for access to applications that we've set forth in terms of this is what we should be using within our org, or this is what you can only use in the org? Remember, shadow IT also means applications being utilized that may not be sanctioned by the organization. There may be, you know, an end user having a need to have the specific function, but if we don't have that dialogue with our end users in terms of what they're trying to accomplish, that becomes a scary thing because the fact that they now have unsecured access to said data. The other aspect to this, in terms of this ability to connect, is you want to have this in a consistent manner. You want to have the ability to access the information specific to an organization in a simplistic manner for your end users, so you don't have those challenges of a flood of calls. Hey, I'm using this tablet, I'm using this phone, I'm using this USB stick, I'm using, you know, there's a plethora of changes or plethora of ways to access. In having it in a consistent manner and a consistent look and feel across a plethora of OSs, whether mobile or desktop, it makes it easier for IT to manage, and it makes it easier for end users to have access to and provide themselves choice as to what they want to deploy. So let's talk about identity management. So the traditional right now, you'll have a Windows Server Active Directory deployment. And that, you know, governs the identity of an individual within an organization. And now Microsoft has extended it using Azure Active Directory. Has anybody played with that thus far? So Azure Active Directory is the enablement of either synchronization or federation of an individual's identity into the cloud. What does that mean? So I can have it as an access point for the login capabilities into multi-factor authentication. I could have it as an access point into my infrastructure and provide a secure tunnel through. I can manage it all from a centralized console, whether it be on-prem using my Windows Server 2012 R2 Server Manager or in cloud, which I'll show you in a second. I also have the capability to extend that solution for single sign-on capabilities across a plethora of SaaS applications. In total, there's about 1,500 plus SaaS applications today that allow for this capability for the end users to sign in once and gain access to all. Also, the ability for self-service in the fact that I can have a self-service portal which will allow for an end user to gain access to their email profile to automatically enable said device that they've just purchased, line of business applications through what we call Company Hub, which allows an individual to go to a repository, whether the apps are native or virtualized, and install on their leisure on the devices. Now, it's not a free-for-all. It's not, you know, something to say, hey, all these devices can get access to all applications. But as IT professionals, we have that understanding to say, okay, so this device has this type of security, so we'll allow apps A, B, and C. And this device has a TPM chipset, let's say, so we can allow D on this device. And the identity aspect of it allows or disallows that individual to even have access to that application at all, or the way that the individual connects to that application, through a VPN connection, through direct access, or possibly through aggregation of cloud. So the question becomes, do I sync or do I federate? And this is all choice. This is all in regards to the needs of the IT professional, the needs of the organization, the needs in terms of the security requirements made available as to how you want to connect your end users. In a sync scenario, you have the ability to connect through existing investments in Office 365, if you've deployed Azure Active Directory for multi-factor authentication and self-provisioning, back to your Windows Server Active Directory implementation. What's great about this solution is it's a sync, so any changes inside of the cloud doesn't reflect back onto your on-prem. But you also have the ability to say, I don't want all the objects to go in the cloud. I want to just have the individual's first name, last name, and the department they work for, and then I want everything else to sync back to my on-prem implementation. There's also the ability for federation in the fact that the cloud only becomes the gateway, and it becomes the pathway, a secure pathway back to the Azure Active Directory implementation to allow for that access to said data. That specifically in a B2B federated situation allows secure access to resources that are behind the firewall. Again, schema, objects, all controlled by IT as to what is allowed in the cloud, so it's not an all or nothing type deal. And again, the pathways that they gain access to, so long as the device meets the requirements of security. So Azure Active Directory is that instance that could be allow for access via a gateway or via a sync of an individual's profile to the specific applications or allowing access on specific devices set forth by IT to meet the security requirements and standards and to simplify the access to the back-end data required by the end users. And this is all managed through an interface that is very familiar. As I said, you can manage this through Server Manager or you can manage this through a portal. And in managing it through the portal, you have access to this on, again, a plethora of devices, on your tablets, on your phones, and on your PCs. I remember back in the day, BlackBerry tried to do this thing where they had Server Manager for Windows Server 2000 on a screen that was that small to manage. And now that we're in the day and age of tablets and the ability to have access to it from anywhere, you know, us as IT professionals are empowered with tools to provision across a plethora of OSs. Choice is a big thing. Choice is the number one reason why Microsoft has done what it has done because we're in the age of ubiquitous computing. And that's only going to extend when we talk about Internet of Things and more data that's coming in because those channels too have to be secured. And so providing that control to IT professionals, it enables access or disallows access to SaaS applications, on-prem applications, you name it. And provides that peace of mind in terms of, I know that this individual's identity is secure. It's the only thing that will allow them to unlock files, unlock applications, in regards to certificates that I've deployed, specific to the organization. So in a common scenario in terms of synchronization, so there's a change that happens on Windows Server. I now disallow access to a specific application. It syncs via cloud, and then it federates across. So now when I go through the cloud in terms of the gateway to gain access to an app or that I've now been disallowed, I don't have access to anymore, it automatically cuts me out. So I don't have to remember every SaaS app that individual is connected to. I just kill it once in their profile, and the access is removed. In a federation scenario, the synchronization has to go back, the authentication has to go back to the on-prem. So the cloud itself can't dictate to say yes or no. It is, in essence, the gateway that an individual would log into and it would federate back to the on-prem Active Directory to say yes or no in terms of access. In this scenario, you don't have to push anything in the cloud other than the pathway as to where your AD is. Now, there's three offerings with Azure AD. There's a free, there's a basic, and a premium. All three provide 30-day free trial. Obviously, the 80 free is free for the lifetime that you've deployed it. There are some limitations in regards to this. I'm not going to go through the mice print here. You guys will have access to the deck. Definitely great to play with in lab in terms of enablement. I think the biggest thing for me in terms of the premium is that there is no limit in terms of the objects that you can synchronize into the cloud, as well as there's no limit on the SaaS applications that you can federate with this solution, as well as the self-service capabilities. So I, as an individual, have been locked out of access on said SaaS application. I can restart it and reset it from this portal, as opposed to bothering IT to gain access to it. And remember, this security and this enablement is across not just SaaS applications, but line of business applications as well. So you have the ability to federate this type of secure access to apps that are on-prem or native on the device, or in a virtualized sense, running on a VM on the device, should it support it. And should you have a situation where an individual is trying to access said application, so the application is supposed to be running in Washington here in the example, and for some reason somebody in Brazil is trying to access through the same access point, there is reporting capabilities made available for you to be notified when this instance happens. And so should there be a requirement to shut that individual's identity down, you'd be notified of the malicious access that's happening through a reporting system that is very familiar and very similar to what you've experienced currently on the Windows Server. So in this scenario, when there's the illegitimate access being put forth, I can be notified and put an immediate block on that identity because the security has been compromised. That individual could have loaded an app on their BYOD device that was malicious and it has malware, you know, that's accessing their identity. I would be notified immediately that this instance has occurred, again, set by the parameters that I put forth. So if this individual travels a lot and there's a possibility that he'll frequent between Brazil and Washington, I might not have that instance happen. But definitely if I have two devices that are in different geographical regions trying to access the same data through an application, that's a big alarm bell. And so the device itself will be restricted should that occur. Now, in a multi-factor authentication through Active Directory Premium, it's a lot more robust in terms of what's available for that type of authorization. Because of the fact that you have a plethora of choices in terms of how the individual signs in, or even if it's a two-response or two-touch authentication requirement, this solution will allow for that in a plethora of ways. You have the ability through a mobile application to have that second authentication into said application. So if I'm on a device, I put in my passcode, and then it requires a second authentication code. There are mobile apps. So on Windows Phone, there's an app called Authenticator, which will allow for that second-tier access or second-tier security code or PIN code that I would have to enter in order to gain access to said app. And that app could reside on the same device, same phone, or on a tablet or on a laptop. You also have phone calls. So if there's an actual verbal confirmation that it has to happen, through Premium you have the ability for the second authentication to have a phone call put forth to ensure that the individual that's trying to access is that individual. And then text message, where you would receive a code via text message when requested to enter into your application to allow for that authentication. This, again, is available on Active Directory Premium, Azure Active Directory Premium, not offered on the free or the basic, but is an enabler for the two-step authentication if required by an organization. So in the scenario, the individual signs in from any device to gain access to the multi-factor authentication server, which federates to your Windows Server on-prem through AD or other LDAP. And then you have that authentication aspect that happens on the mobile device by what you've chosen in terms of that authentication for the two-factor authentication. So whether it's a phone call, a text message, or an application, that would then allow you to punch in the PIN code, which would then allow the end user access to said application. Also, should there be a requirement for a cloud application to have the same capability, you can actually do that as well. So any SaaS application can also have that same two-step authentication enabled through the same gateway. So there isn't a requirement to set up a separate infrastructure for this enablement. It would be plugged in via template into Azure Active Directory for the federation of said SaaS application. And in this scenario here, so the Azure Active Directory is acting as a gateway for that multi-factor authentication for the individual's device to then securely access said information. If you have the Office 365 deployed, you also have the capability for multi-factor authentication. Obviously not as robust in terms of the enablement that it offers, but it is also a great first step, very comparable to the free version of Active Directory, Azure Active Directory capabilities. The biggest thing in terms of reporting, definitely on the premium side, in terms of if I have fraud, somebody's been circumvented in terms of security for malware, blocking or unblocking or quarantining users, you name it, obviously a lot more robust in the Azure offering. Has anybody played with Forefront Identity Manager? So this is included in Azure Active Directory Premium in terms of the enablement for end users to have self-control in regards to what they can and can't access. So if I've set parameters in terms of here's the SaaS applications you have access to, they can set themselves up in terms of this solution to gain access to it. So having the ability to, you know, hey, I do need this SaaS application, or you know what, I don't really need this, I don't have to install it on my device, or I don't have to set up a profile for myself. And it's all governed by IT. Even down to the workflow aspect of what applications and where I'm going to store said data. How many people have the challenge today where you have your end users storing data in Dropbox or Google Drive or OneDrive and you have no line of sight to it? How do you govern over that? How do you ensure that that information stays on-prem and stays secure? That too, to be said, you know, that document that's now in Dropbox, let's say, you've heard that you've read the legal on Dropbox, they literally have a line that says, we own your stuff. So now they put the sales figures for your organization in Dropbox that they now own. How do you stop that? How do you disallow that? Or how do you encrypt that data for that individual to have the identity to allow to have access to it? And that's why the identity security is so key, because you want to make sure that they're doing things that are to company standard and not trying to find a way to circumvent that security because they want to do things in a different way. So in the Azure Active Directory deployment, similar to the Forefront Identity Manager, this happens all through the cloud. And it locks or enables an end user to have access to says SaaS applications. If I don't want them to put stuff in Dropbox, I can disable that capability because I have that sync and I have that profile that I bolted on that said if an individual tries to access Dropbox, disallow access. Not allowed to save documents into it. If they want to do their personal stuff, go right ahead. But any documents that pertain to my organization, sorry, not going to happen. This control and this enablement, you know, still allowing the end user to do their personal aspect on their device with their personal documents, it's not the whole, you probably heard the solutions that are being put forth in terms of siloing. And so I have a silo for my business, and then I allow them to have the other space that's personal. This makes the information smart. It makes the identity the key to unlock what the user can and cannot do, what the user can or cannot access, all controlled by IT. So in the scenario that you have, you know, there's pretty much three scenarios that you would have in a BYOD offering. You'd have no control, where the individual brings a device in and wants to connect it, has no access, you've disallowed or disabled access. It's a very dangerous premise. Because like I said, end users will find a way. If they're savvy enough, if they're determined enough, and you've told them no, the scary thing is when they do find that loophole within your organization and gain access to data that they shouldn't, without your knowing. Partial control, so still allowing access to the data, but doing it in such a way where, yeah, there's still single sign-on capability, But you don't have full access to what else is on the device. And this is becoming more and more important. I don't want access to the individual's, you know, pictures of their family or documents in terms of their mortgage or any of that respect. I want to keep their privacy private. I just want to secure my apps, my data. And there's certificate wrapping that allows for that, which again is authenticated and locked down or unlocked via an individual's ID. And then full control. So these are the devices that are pretty much deployed by an organization to say, here's how you're using the device and you can't use it any other way. That instance, that capability is slowly lessening every day because the fact that ubiquitous computing doesn't allow for us to manage all these devices in a full control scenario. What that also means, though, is that there's choice in terms of that type of enablement. You may not want to have applications natively installed on a device. You may want to run in a virtualized instance applications or experiences like desktops to allow for end users to gain access to information but not have data at rest on the device. So one great scenario that Microsoft actually made available in Windows Server 2012 R2 is the workplace join capability. What that means is a device, regardless if it's a desktop, PC, sorry, desktop, notebook, Mac, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, to gain access to offerings that are available on the traditional domain with a device that non-traditionally connect to that domain. So via certificate, I'm enabled via my device to gain access to the back-end infrastructure, again, so long as IT is allowed for it. So in a workplace join, in this example here, Erwin authenticates via the portal through Active Directory Federated Services to gain access to the said applications made available on my domain. Once he's authenticated, the certificate is pushed down to Erwin's device to allow him access going forward to the domain services. Now, with that being said, if the applications obviously are not compatible with the end user's device, he's not going to be able to utilize them. But in solutions like Company Hub, I can say, it can be intelligent enough to know, hey, this individual is connecting with an iPad. Here are the applications that we use within our organization specifically for iOS that require a domain authentication. And that enablement and certificate governed by an individual's identity, so the individual would still have to log in to provide the authentication, would then allow that end user to gain access to said data. Again, secured and controlled by IT. So, let's do the animation here. Again, very simple. The individual logs in on the device to the portal that we've provided access to. The certificate is pushed down to the device and is also attached to the individual's profile in Active Directory so that the individual can gain access to said applications, whether in-prem or in cloud. So if there is a specific SaaS application that we want to have enabled for the organization across a plethora of OSs, I can enable that, and as you can see, supports Windows, iOS, Android, Mac products as well. What that also allows for the enablement of is work folders. So we had a couple of people, you know, nod their heads when I mentioned Dropbox and other cloud-based storage solutions. What about utilizing the investment you've put forth in terms of your storage spaces within your organization? What about if there was a way to allow for a secure channel for an individual, now that they've federated with the domain with their mobile device, to gain access to storage made available on my infrastructure and enforce the fact that whenever they save the data is saved in storage space that I've set the profile for, regardless of the device that they're using to access it. So if I've set the policy or profile that this individual gets 15 gigabytes on my storage pool, they, regardless of it going from a PC, tablet, or phone, so long as they're federated with my Active Directory implementation, can gain access to save files, to access files, on and on and on. So not just like a SharePoint implementation using Universal Access Gateway, but a full-on federated solution back into my backend infrastructure outside of SharePoint in a seamless manner to deposit or retrieve applications or data. So in this scenario here, we have Windows Server file services that is enabled on an infrastructure for an end user to federate in and gain access to via a device or an application, possibly a SaaS application to gain access to that information, which would then federate either through reverse proxy or through web application proxy to gain access to the file services. This is enabled directly in Windows Server 2012 R2 for access, again, across a plethora of devices, not just desktop PCs. And the policies and profiles that you've set forth in terms of this enablement is all done in a uniform sense. It's not a, okay, so I have to set this up for iOS, I'll have to set this up for Android, I have to set this up for Windows. It's set up once, and so long as you've allowed that connection from that specific OS, because remember, you don't have to allow everything. You still have the ability to control, and you still have the ability of conversation with your end users. Unfortunately, this device doesn't meet my security requirements. Here's a couple of devices that do, still providing, I like to call, choose your own device, as opposed to bring your own device. And having that enablement through a plethora of solutions made available natively in Server, through Workplace Join and through work folders, to allow the end user to have access to resources and data made available by the org securely. Which, of course, is federated through your implementation of Windows Server Active Directory to domain join devices, now join either traditionally or via certificate. So, as mentioned, this solution, this offering, we deliver in camp. And in the camp, we actually deliver this, you know, as a hands-on lab. In the fact that you can, we allow you to set up through a VM, workplace join, and then work folders. We also do a system center implementation, as well as an Active Directory spin up into a federated service to allow for devices to gain access to, you know, data made available in the lab. We also have a great number of resources in terms of what's on CanIT Pro. So on canitpro.net, we have a plethora of step-by-steps to enable, you know, at home or in your personal lab, theories, best practices to allow for this type of solution to possibly be enabled within your infrastructure. There's also a great Azure Active Directory module that's available for free on Microsoft Virtual Academy, again, to take you through the ropes in terms of the theory as to how to best implement or best practices around Azure Active Directory, whether it's be a federated or synced solution. And that's my contact information. Please feel free to reach out. A lot of the articles that we write on CanIT Pro are specific questions, answers to questions that you, our great audience, has asked. So, you know, at any time, please feel free to reach out to me if you guys have any questions. I think we do have 10 minutes for Q&A. So does anybody have any questions right now? How many people have started to dabble with the Azure Active Directory implementation? How many people are thinking about it today to possibly do? So at the back, in the middle there. Anybody else have any questions, anything? Well, if you guys have no more questions, I thank you very much for your time. We'll be starting again, I believe it's in 10 minutes, and we'll be going through the device aspect now in terms of security. So again, thank you very much for your time, and we'll see you back in about 10 minutes.